It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Following the introduction by Dr. Bob Wood, our speaker will be Dr. Gene Leslie, pastor of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in Johnson City, Tennessee. The title of his message is, Just Keep On Praying. The text is from Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 9.
We're fortunate today and tomorrow to have Dr. Gene Leslie from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in Gray, Tennessee, preaching in chapel for us. I've known Dr. Leslie for many years now, a man with a great heart for ministry, a man who's built a great church. He's pastored Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church for some 39 years. He attended Southern Mississippi University and played football there. He even got to play against Alabama and at one time played in the Sun Bowl, a man who had an athletic career but chose rather to serve the Lord. He came to Bob Jones University in 1954 as a senior and then graduated from here, and the Lord led him into the ministry of this great church. He's a fundamental Bible-believing pastor that loves the Word of God, preaches the Word of God, and I promise you, He'll bless our hearts today and tomorrow here in chapel. Dr. Leslie, you come.
God bless you, my brother. Thank you very much. Thank you, Dr. Wood. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Luke 11, verse 5. Luke 11, verse 5. I want to extend my greetings to you from beautiful Northeast Tennessee. And it is a privilege to be here today. Luke 11, verse 5. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege of coming to thee in prayer. Pray thy blessings upon this student body, upon the faculty and staff, and these visiting friends today. Now help me as I preach. Give me liberty, we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. And amen. And I want to speak to you today on prayer. And I'm not an authority on this subject. I don't know of any subject that I know of that I'm an authority on. But I have prayed enough prayers and received enough answers to prayer that I know that there is a God in heaven who answers prayer. And I want us to look briefly at what prayer is not and then what prayer is. First of all, prayer is not transcendental meditation. In Oriental and mystical religions and among New Agers, we hear a lot about transcendental meditation. And this mystical meditation, chanting and communing with self and the Spirit, is not praying to the Lord God of heaven. It could easily go into the realm of praying to evil spirits and even to the devil himself. So young people don't have anything to do with these Oriental religions and the New Age movement. The God of the New Age and the God of the Oriental religions is Satan himself. Then also, prayer is not therapeutic contemplation. Communion with nature and self is claimed by some to have therapeutic value and brings peace and tranquility. That's good to take a walk in the woods and in the fields and enjoy nature and think things over. But that is not prayer. Communing with nature is not communing with God. Then prayer is not a religious ritual. Millions around the world chant or pray their prescribed prayers. And now they're sincere, but listen, sincere is not enough. And their prayers are absolutely worthless. No one in Africa or South America, or Asia, or Europe, or here in Greenville, South Carolina, can know what real prayer is until they get saved and then born into the family of God, and then they can really pray. Years ago, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention got in deep water by saying, God doesn't hear the prayer of Jews. Well, I want to add to that, God doesn't hear the prayers of Jews, or Methodists, or Baptists, or Muslims, or anyone until they get saved by the grace of God and get born into the family of God. Now, let's look briefly what prayer is. Simply stated, prayer is when a born-again child of God talks to his Heavenly Father. So prayer is talking to God and saying, Abba, Father. Old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to describe this great privilege of prayer that a born-again child of God has this way. He said, because I was born into my Father's family, I could walk right in, sit right down at the table, and say, Papa, pass the biscuits. And the neighbor boys could walk into my house and sit down at the table and say that because they were not my Father's children. And a born-again child of God can walk, and if you're born again, you can walk right into the presence of God, and you can sit down at the table and say to your Heavenly Father, Papa, pass the biscuits. If you're a born-again child of God, a member of the family of God. So prayer is just talking to God. And I think there are three basic forms of prayer. There are others, but let's just look at these three. First of all, there is petition. Just asking God or begging God for something that's needed in your life. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then there's adoration. Just going into the Lord's presence and saying, Jesus, I love you. And Jesus, I just come to you and I want to praise you. You've been good to me. And thank you for being so good to me. Let me ask you this. Have you praised the Lord this morning? And you need to get into the habit of praising the Lord. The psalmist said he inhabiteth the praises of his people. And so if you want the presence of the Lord in your life, just start praising the Lord. And the Lord will get a little closer to you just to hear what you've got to say. And then also another form of prayer is confession. Every day we need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I have failed you. Now, I was wrong. Lord, please forgive me. And Lord, help me not to do that again. And we need to go to the Lord daily for cleansing. I say in our church, I've said it many times, the best Christians in our church are the best repenters. Now, in this parable in Luke 11 of the importunate friend, the Lord teaches us some great, simple, practical truths concerning prayer. Now, this it's sort of comical as I think of this parable. Here this man is, he's in bed and his children were with him in bed. And I got to thinking, there's the man in bed, there's a wife in bed, and there's the children in bed. So what if one of them has a nightmare or talk in their sleep or walk in their sleep? It'd be hard to get a good night's rest. But anyway, the man was in bed with his children. And then a friend came to him at midnight and said, I have a friend that's come to me, and I have nothing to put before him. Could you loan me, give me three loaves? He said, I'm already in bed. He said, I'm in bed with my children. I can't be bothered. The man said, please, I'm sorry to bother you this late at night, but my friend has nothing to eat. Would you please do it? And he kept on begging him. And then the man got up because of his importunity, because he kept begging, and he gave him whatsoever he needs. Now, the major truth of this parable is this, is just keep on praying. And regardless of the problems we face, we should not get discouraged. We should never give up. We shouldn't throw in the towel and turn our back on God and turn our back on the church. And I don't care what you're facing this morning, the Lord has laid a message on my heart. And I believe it's what God wants me to preach in this hour. Just keep on praying. You say, preacher, why should I keep on praying? Well, first of all, because of the promises of God. From Genesis all the way through the Bible, God has clearly promised in many places that He will hear and answer our prayers. Let's just notice a few of these prayer promises. There's not a greater verse in the Bible where God commits Himself to hearing and answering our prayers than we find in Jeremiah 33:3. The Lord God of heaven, the God who cannot lie, says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Then the Word of God says in Psalm 34:15, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ear is open unto their cry." So 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the eye of God is upon us, and His ear is bent and open to our prayers. Then Psalm 55:17, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." Psalm 81:10, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." Now look again at the promise Jesus made in Luke 11:9-10. "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open." Now, our Lord is saying, just keep on asking, just keep on seeking, and just keep on knocking, and it shall be open, and your prayers will be answered. I have 3 children. I'm hearing about all these new babies being born around here this morning, and everybody seems to be happy. I understand. I have 3 children. 2 of my children graduates of the university. One is a missionary to Brazil, home now after 2 terms on the field. And one is my daughter, a pastor's wife in Pennsylvania, in an independent Baptist church. And the other one is an electrical engineer out in the state of Washington. I do have 1 kid that'll make a little money anyway. But then I have 5 grandchildren. I used to think these grandparents were a bunch of loonies. And now I am one. And I would give my kids anything and my grandchildren anything that they needed. I give them a lot of gifts sometimes, and they don't even. I just get to have a joy in giving to my children and grandchildren. And Matthew 7:11, Jesus said, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him?" And God wants to hear and answer our prayers. He wants to give us good things. And our lack of praying robs us of the good things from the hand of God. Then secondly, just keep on praying because of the omniscience of God. God knows more about your burdens this morning than you do yourself. He knows more about that heartache or that pain or that problem you have than even you do. And the psalmist David said in Psalm 142:3, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path." Genesis 16:13 says, "Thou, God, seest me." So God sees your problems this morning. He sees your situation. In the first chapter of Job, Job lost everything he had in a day. In less than 24 hours, he lost his servants, he lost his sheep, he lost his oxen, he lost his camels, and he even lost his children. And then he had sores from the top of his head and boils to the sole of his feet. And his wife came to him, and she's quite a helpmeet. This old sister said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And then he had a lot of friends that were a great encouragement to him. They came to him, they jumped on him and said, "There must be, because of all this, there must be sin in your life." But Job said in Job 23:10, "But He knoweth the way that I take." God knows the way that you take. And Job says, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Then Hebrews 4:13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. So we ought to keep on praying, because God sees you. He knows all about it. He understands. Others may not understand, but God does. I'm glad of that. Then we ought to just keep on praying because of the very nature of God. The psalmist David said in Psalm 65, 2, O Thou that hearest prayer, unto Thee shall all flesh come. That verse is a sweet and a precious verse to me. It says that one of the names of our Heavenly Father is, O Thou that hearest prayer. This verse tells me a big hunk of flesh like me can come into the presence of the Lord God of the universe. Unto Thee shall all flesh come. Weak flesh, educated flesh, uneducated flesh, rich flesh, poor flesh, black flesh, polka dot flesh, sinful flesh, doubting flesh, all flesh can come unto Thou that hearest prayer. Blessed be God, I can get in on that. And you can too. This is why I came here. This is the burden the Lord laid on my heart to come here. Let you know, and you know this, but I wanted to nail it down while I'm here this morning. You can get things from God. I'm glad of that. There's a preacher over in Kingsport, Tennessee, a number of years ago. He heard about us there at the church, and we had some good things going on and having some growth, and winning a few people to the Lord. And he thought that I would be some tall, dark, handsome fella. Boy, he was wrong, wasn't he? But then he heard me preach, and he told one of our members, he said, why, Gene Lashley is just an ordinary guy. Yes, I am just an ordinary guy, but I found out a long time ago that God will bless any preacher, or any person, anyone, if they will just pray. You will listen, you preacher boys. You will make it in the ministry out there. You will make it in the ministry out there. I don't care how much talent you have. I don't care what kind of preacher you are. I don't care where you stand in your class. If you will pray, you can have the blessing of God on your ministry. I'll guarantee you. You don't have to be a failure in the ministry or the mission field or anywhere, any area of life you go into. If you'll pray, you can know the blessing of God on your life. Then we ought to keep on praying because we have a Savior who cares. Years ago, I heard a well-known preacher at a Bible conference hold up both hands. He said, you're lucky if you have that many real friends in life. Then he held up just one hand and said, you're probably fortunate, most of you, if you have that many friends who will stick by you when everyone else turns against you. And you might think this morning that there's no one who cares about you and about your problems. And folks, I'll have to admit, there's not many people out there that really care. But never say, nobody cares where I live or die. You're wrong. There's one who cares. I'm glad this morning Jesus cares. Aren't you? Thank the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. As a little chorus, we used to sing. Now, I'm not going to try to sing here this morning. I wouldn't know a note of music would come down that aisle right there. But the little chorus goes like this. He careth for you. He careth for you through sunshine and shadows. He careth for you. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our troubles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. I'm glad He cares this morning. I'm glad of that. Then we need to just keep on praying because it fulfills our high priestly calling. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Now in the Old Testament, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest, as you well know, would go into the Holy of Holies once a year to offer blood before the mercy seat to atone for the sins of the people. He would go into the very presence of God because the Shekinah glory of God was there above the mercy seat. And no one else was allowed to go in there but the high priest. And he could only go in there one time a year on the Day of Atonement. But today, in this church dispensation, every born-again child of God is a royal priest. When Christ died on the cross, the veil was rent in twain from top to bottom. And we as believer priests have access to God not once a year, no, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anytime we have access into the presence of God. And we need to fulfill our duty as believer priest by just keep on praying. Then we need to just keep on praying because of the consequences of unoffered prayer. James 4:2 says, "You have not because you ask not." Probably the greatest sin among most of us in this building here this morning is our prayerlessness. We fail to get things from God because we just do not pray. James says the reason you have not is simply because you ask not. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We go around defeated. Why? Just because we don't keep on praying. Problems are not solved because we don't keep on praying. God says in Psalm 50:15, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." We don't have the power of God on our lives because we just don't keep on praying and bombarding heaven until we get a touch of God on our lives. Luke 11:13 says, "If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" We miss God's leading in our lives many times because we just don't wait on God and just keep on praying. The prophet Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 10:23, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." We need the God of heaven, young people, to direct our steps down through life. And then we don't win our loved ones and friends to Christ because we just don't keep on praying. Listen, we can keep our loved ones and our friends out of hell if we'll keep bombarding heaven and if we'll keep begging God to save them. And don't let them go out into eternity. Don't let them go to hell till they get saved. So never, 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 never give up on your unsaved loved one. Just keep on praying. My grandma Leslie was a godly lady. They used to walk to church and they'd start talking about the Lord. And my dear old grandmother, I don't even remember. She died when I was just a small child. They said she would start shouting when they'd talk about the Lord on the way to church. And on her deathbed, she told her youngest son, my Uncle Jim, said, "Jimmy," and Jimmy was just a teenager then. And she said, "My grandmother, as she was getting ready to cross over to the other side, she said, 'Jimmy, I want to meet you in heaven.'" And my Uncle Jim became one of the worst drunks you've ever seen in your life. One time a young boy had to pull him off a railroad track. He was lying there dog drunk and a train coming. He pulled him off just in time. I believe my Grandma Lashley, even though she's gone on, her prayers kept him getting killed right there. One time I was standing as a young boy on the porch, and here come my Uncle Jim staggering down the road. And my father said to my Uncle Will, said, look at there, Will. There's no hope for him. My Uncle Will said, oh, yes, there is. As long as there's life, there's hope. And in 1950, a great Holy Ghost revival came to my hometown in a little church up Moxon Holler. Now, I didn't say hollow in East Tennessee. It's holler. But up Moxon Holler, I mean, I'm glad before I went off to college down in Mississippi, I'm glad I got around a Holy Ghost revival where God was there. It's good to be around where God shows up. And Uncle Jim came to that revival one night. All souls were getting saved and God was blessing His people. But Uncle Jim didn't get saved that night. But he got under conviction. And the next day, he was miserable as a mine coal under the soddy mountains. He came home that night from the mines, and while my aunt got supper for him, he went out along a creek bank and got down under a willow tree. He was under conviction, and he knelt down, gave his heart to Jesus, and got saved by the grace of God. And I was there that night when my Uncle Jim came to the revival service. They sang one song. And when they finished, my Uncle Jim got up and said, my mama's prayers have been answered. I believe God heard my Grandma Lashley's prayer. 16 or 17 years after she died, and I believe my Grandma Lashley's prayers kept my Uncle Jim out of hell. And Uncle Jim didn't touch another drop of liquor the rest of his days on this earth, and that's what getting born again will do for you, young people. You need to be born again. Well, I've got a few more minutes here. I'm just getting wound up here this morning, just getting out where I feel like preaching. But let me give you another reason. You ought to keep on praying. You ought to just keep on praying because, young people, there's just simply no one else to turn to but Jesus. Where can we go but to the Lord? In Isaiah 45:22, God says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there's none else. In John 6, many turned their backs and walked away and walked with Jesus no more. But Jesus said to the few who remain, will ye also go away? And in John 6:68, it says, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. People are turning to everything for peace and for joy and for solutions to their problems. But the only one we can turn to who can help us is Jesus. There's no one else to turn to. I've just got a minute or two. Let me tell you this and I'll be through. Many years ago, I was working in YFC and Youth for Christ. And many of the Bob Jones boys were going into Youth for Christ at that time. We were having a tent revival up in Dixon, Illinois. And my wife's brother Stan was unsaved. Oh, he's a hard case. He's leaving home to go to Bradley University the next Monday morning. And on Saturday night, my wife's mother prayed off and on all night long, Lord, save my boy. Save my boy before he goes off to college. She'd go to sleep and wake up praying for a boy to be saved. And Stan and his girlfriend came to the service of their tent revival on Sunday night. And during the invitation, I went back and literally pulled Stan down the aisle. Now, preacher boys, I don't recommend that. That's the only time I've ever done that. But I knew here was a mother who had prayed all night, off and on all night, God, save my boy before he goes off to college. And I asked a preacher friend to take him in the prayer tent and pray with him. He couldn't do a thing with Stan. But an old preacher Deck that night was there that night. A train strike stopped him from going back to Chicago. I turned him over to preacher Deck that night. He went in and got to praying and talking to him and prayed heaven down. And Stan broke down and was saved. And that old preacher didn't intend to be, he didn't intend to be in that service, but a train strike kept him there, and he prayed heaven down, and Stan got saved, and Stan has been living for the Lord for over 40 years. I believe God sent a train strike to hear a mother's prayer and save her boy who was going off the next day. Well, just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer you. God keeps His promise. His Word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. Let's pray. Father, I've delivered my heart. I want these young people to realize there's a God in heaven that can and will answer their prayers. Lord, I pray that You'll make these many young people prayer warriors, praying down the blessing of God on their future ministry. Meet their needs here this morning, we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. God bless you.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Gene Leslie, pastor of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in Johnson City, Tennessee. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.